pitch to the Center Circle Studio. Tim Van Horn goes studs up into the soccer world where no one is safe. The 18-yard box is wall-free. This is My Three Subs Podcast, a soccer odyssey with your manager, Tim Van Horn.
Considering we've done zero preparation for this, it might be our most comprehensive episode in quite some time, Brody.
And you know, I feel very confident and collected with this.
Wait, you know, actually, now that I think about it, we've done a lot of show prep by sitting on our butts in front of a television and watching.
Yeah, a lot of watching. Champions get crowned. We've watched a lot of draws. We've watched a lot of matches that, quite honestly, kind of felt like they didn't mean anything until later.
Yeah, and then we are looking ahead to Qatar. Now that people now know, I guess that's how you pronounce it.
Qatar.
It's the same people that'll tell you it's not daylight savings time.
Yeah.
Daylight saving time. Qatar.
Guitar.
Not Qatar. Yeah. Qatars and Cadillacs.
Qatar out.
All right. It's Brody and Tim, and we got a lot to talk about. Indoor, outdoor, domestic, international. Nothing intergalactic unless we have some breaking news.
Not
stick around.
Yeah.
It could get interesting, though. It could get spaced out on My Three Subs.
We'll be back with today's kickoff from the Center Circle Studios. This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
Man, the housing market is absolutely nuts. You think the top of the table is crowded in the Premier League? Look at the crowds of people that are trying to move into a house with low inventory. Offers are coming in left, center, and right, and it can be absolutely nuts. And you need a professional to help you stand out from above the rest and to position you to have the best possible chance to move into your dream home. Now, if you're selling, you need someone with experience that can help you sort out those multiple offers, because not every offer is built the same way. It's Tim Van Horn with Cry Like Realtors, and I am proud to be not just a big supporter of soccer here in the Mid-South, but I'm also a proud supporter and a proud advocate of buyers and sellers all across the Mid-South. I'm licensed in Tennessee and in Mississippi. Now, if you're moving around the corner, or even if you're moving around the country, or even around the world, I'm also relocation certified. I can help you get where you want to go. Want your house sold quickly? I can help you with some tips that will help you get the best dollar and also help you get on the way to your dream house. If you're looking to buy, I can help you fit with the proper financing. I can find you the good lenders. Also, I'll make sure I got your back as well. I've got a team of inspectors and other vendors that will help your move be as smooth and as stress-free as possible. Want to find out more? Give me a call at 901-756-8900. That's my office. You can call myself, except during soccer games, of course, 901-262-5000. And you can go to timvanhorn.com. That's timvanhorn.com. Whether you are buying or selling, wherever you're going, I can help you get there. Tim Van Horn, Cry Like Realtors.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. We're underway from the Center Circle Studios.
Winners, losers, drawers. We had it all in the past 4 days in Memphis soccer.
We had a bunch. We had a bunch to discuss. In fact, we were going to do an episode last week, but then we thought, well, we'd have to keep that one short because there's so much stuff coming up. So why not do what we do best, and that's sleep in, and then do one the next week?
I'm counting in my head how many matches we've had in the past 4 days, and it's roughly nine.
Nine? Because you had eight indoor matches, because you had four for the women, the two regular season, and then two in the tournament for the women.
Yeah.
Double that because of the men, because they made the finals as well. And then 901 FC played at Detroit, which, oh, by the way, was a homecoming for Ben Pierman.
So where do you want to start? Do you want to go outside and then go inside? I mean, it's a nice day right now, so how about we start there?
By there, you mean out there. Okay, yeah, let's do that.
901 FC obviously kicking off its regular season play. We haven't really talked too much about 901 FC since they started. First impressions, Tim Van Horn, who's called the first match, seen us play Las Vegas Lights, which we can talk about that, and then saw Ben Pierman return home.
Yeah, I would say It's still inconclusive, but I will say this, that it's the best start in franchise history.
Ben Pearman's got these guys playing off their minds.
Memphis, after four matches, sits at 7 points. Remember, we were hoping last year for a franchise best 5 points after five road matches.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yes.
Which you and I kicked the ball, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Through four matches, great haul of points. I would submit to you that we should have more points than seven, though.
Mm. Okay.
The Pittsburgh game was going to be close either way. One way or another, it was going to be tough to, best case scenario, a draw, or I think maybe one goal on either side. But then when the red card came in on the second yellow.
Oh, 35th, 34th minute?
Once that happened, we were done for. The Memphis win was a good one and very, very much needed.
We called it, by the way.
Against Oakland Roots.
Yeah. Oh, no, we didn't call that one. Okay, yeah. Oakland Roots, that was our first win.
So got that. And then Las Vegas Lights.
We did call
good,
that one.
Good, because that was a road W, which was great.
We also brought home hardware from that match.
Yeah, what was that about?
I don't know.
It's an Elvis thing, right?
It was an Elvis thing. Like, it was the King Cup, apparently. Nobody really knew until after the match, and we're bringing home, like, a weird Elvis trophy thing. Cool. All right? We have hardware now to put in the display case.
Yes, it is our... That's our first piece of silverware, isn't it?
It's our first piece of hardware.
I think it is. And then after that, of course, Memphis goes to Detroit and ends up drawing with Detroit City, first year entry, bumping up to the USL Championship. Of course, the former coaching pad for Ben Pearman.
I was super impressed at that match, the Detroit City match. And I'll tell you why. It's because they played with intensity, at least the first half. The second half, they come out of the locker room, City obviously making, and you could say adjustments. I just think they came out with a little bit more fire.
I thought the intensity in the first half was fantastic. I thought going in 1-0, loved the goal by Philip Goodrum. Glad that he finally got a goal because he's been awfully close.
Yeah.
He had that disappointment of the saved penalty in the opening match. So it was good to see him score. And then I was about ready to put our attack on a milk carton for the final 30, 35 minutes of the match because it all but disappeared. That's not to say that the defensive intensity wasn't there, because it was.
You're right.
I think all in all, going into the half, I thought, okay, this is a good chance to pick up 3 points.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time we got into about the 70th minute, I'm thinking, oh, Lord, please let us not lose all 3 points on this, because if you go by the balance of the last third of the match, Detroit was the more likely to win that match.
Listen, the defense had to step up, right? Because City was putting the pedal to the metal. They were throwing everything but the kitchen sink, and sometimes including the kitchen sink, at us. That being said, I would put the strikers on milk crates, and I would put our midfield on milk crates, because quite honestly, where did they go once the ball was cleared? We couldn't settle a ball to save our lives in the middle.
The ball played pretty lively on the field turf. I'll grant you that. My concern is that we don't, and this was a concern at the beginning of last year too, and things turned out well. Mm. My concern is, and I know we're just four matches in, but I don't know who our shark is. If we even have a shark, that one guy, maybe it turns out to be two guys, but who is the one that can get themselves into a position to receive the ball in a dangerous spot and begin to create or take chances on goal? Maybe Philip Goodrum is the ball that Kelly put in, that Goodrum was able to bang home from point blank range.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he's that guy. But they
did have a few other shots, Tim, that sailed across the middle, missing ahead. on one prime example.
Well, I remember one where there was one near the back post, and we had a guy coming arriving late to the back post, which would have been a tap in, could have made it 2-0 in the first half. And I think at that point, it's game, set, and match at that point. Right. I think if you get up 2-0 and the way that you're playing, you can play with that defensive energy, still maybe hoof the ball up, which at that point, we didn't know that the offense was going to basically be. I don't know if that was part Detroit and part Memphis, but if you look back over our first four matches, generally speaking, and there have been good moments, but we only had three corners in the entire match against Detroit. Mm-hmm. And what that tells me is there were not enough chances. Because if you're only getting three corners, then you're really not having that many rips or sniffs of at the goal from a near distance. And I think you mentioned something about the midfield. Again, I think it goes back to the forwards. I think you have to put yourself in a position to let your midfielder play that into you. Mm-hmm. And then you got to do something with the ball. I don't think we have the shark yet. We don't have, not everybody's going to be a Kyle Murphy. We didn't know Kyle Murphy was going to do what he did this point last year.
Sure.
But I'm just saying we're in the same boat as we were about three or four games into last year. Is we don't have somebody that we can say, oh, this guy's going to get us a goal. I see our guys get lost in the mix, and it's almost like it's a 90-minute run and not and you're, I mean, if you're a forward, you can always create opportunities on turnovers. You can harass. You can be physical. Even when you're not scoring, there are things you can do to help everybody else. I didn't see that as much as I would have liked in the Detroit second half.
Do you feel like at this point, and I mean, we've heard it from time and time again, but do you feel like at this point in the grand scheme of things that it comes down to just fitness, a fitness level with the guys?
No, other teams are scoring. I think that's bullshit.
Yeah, I agree. I always find that excuse as just that, an excuse.
And the Memphis guys aren't using that. I think part of it may be a lack of depth on the bench when you're having to bring in your academy guys and you're not ready to trust them to go more than 15 or 20 minutes.
Or Carroll.
And then Carroll is not 100%. Yeah, he's not 100%. I mean, he's 5 to 8 minutes max for a match right now. Maybe he's getting back to that point. It'd be great to have him back with Logue.
Albeit better, but
yeah. And that's going to take match fitness. If you're talking about fitness, that's one guy that's going to need a little bit of time to get back fully healthy. John Berner is not back. But
I'm happy with Muse.
Muse has been fine.
I mean, listen, Muse is doing great. At some points, he's playing, I think, way above his pay grade.
I mean, that goal was not his fault against Detroit, and he got a road clean sheet against Vegas.
Yeah.
So
in Vegas, it's not like these guys can't have a hard time playing away from home or anything like that.
And while we're talking about Vegas, we got to talk about the fake crowd noise. Oh. We got to go back to that. I know we're going back chronologically, but folks, could you not tell there was maybe 2,500, maybe 3,000 at the game, but it was it seemed like a 20 to 25 second loop of crowd noise with one guy going, it was like he was getting repeatedly stabbed.
Well, and he might have, but you know, listen, for two guys who literally simulated a match, obviously had to simulate crowd noise. I will be honest with you. I only simulated about 30 minutes worth of crowd noise.
Our crowd was better than their crowd.
Our simulated crowd was better than theirs. So I think we deserve the trophy more than the players at that point.
Yeah. Well, but you know, the big takeaway, other than turning the sound down just a little bit, and once I pointed it out, everybody else kind of noticed. It's like, hey, did you see that red car on the road? Then everybody starts seeing the red car.
Right.
But people started chiming in. But the fact that they were able to get a clean sheet on the road, I think that speaks volumes to the defensive intensity. I think, and against Detroit, again, I credit to 901 because I think Detroit had every chance to win that match, but we were able to clear that line oftentimes, literally off of the line.
Yeah.
So 7 points from four matches. This is not a bitch session by me. I'm thrilled that they've got 7 points.
Yeah.
And now they look ahead to the U.S. Open against Chattanooga.
Mm-hmm.
And then a couple of big matches. One is going to be a national TV match coming up on Wednesday the 13th against our rival FC Tulsa.
Yeah.
And then back on the road at Colorado Springs.
I will be interested to watch the FC Tulsa to see what Tulsa brings to the match. Not necessarily what they're doing this year, but what kind of intensity that Tulsa is going to bring, what kind of crowd comes to support on a Wednesday night. It is a weird night to go to a match, so that'll be interesting because I would argue that Tulsa plays better when they have the fuel in the tank from the crowd.
Yeah, Pete Pranica and I will be, I believe we're both on the call on that one on the 13th.
Beautiful.
And then it, depending on the playoffs and with the Easter holiday schedule, I could be back as play-by-play on that night. It depends.
Well, yeah, I mean, because Pranica is obviously doing the Grizzlies, which are, you know, congrats to the Grizzlies. We'll give you all the flowers and props that you deserve because, quite honestly, they deserve it. But speaking of giving flowers, props where they deserve, let's talk indoor, specifically the women.
Yes, and here's what I want to give you kind of an overarching theme on this, that the NISL, the playoffs pretty much mirrored the regular season. On the best took it all in the regular season, the best took it in the playoffs. And the women yesterday clinched the regular season and, of course, the NISL championship with their big 7-5 win. And it was wire to wire for them. They had there's not been a time when they haven't been immersed.
I was concerned, obviously, for the women losing on Friday. They're basically their last match of the season, right?
Let's just call it like it is. They had already clinched first.
Sure.
This was essentially like a baseball team that has already clinched the division.
Mm.
They are playing the games to not get injured and to not forfeit.
And you saw it. Okay, that was clearly the case.
Try some things. Try some different rotations.
Right. And so the reason why I was concerned, though, is that losing taste in the mouth, how are they going to clear it? And boy, did they come Saturday morning. I think their match was like 11 a.m. You know, they come out, I mean, guns a-blazing on Saturday morning, doing just fine.
Yeah, they shook it off and won in style. And then, of course, you had the championship match on Sunday, and they were, 7-5. I mean, what a
Angel Haley playing, you know, lights out. She obviously won best keeper of the league, and yes, was there controversy? Sure. It's called a game.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you know, with humans playing it, mind you. So, no VAR or anything like that. Has there been discussion of VAR? I'm sure. Will there be changes next season? I'm sure.
I think I said 7-5. They beat the Rome Gladiators 5-3 was the final score.
Final score in the final.
Which is pretty impressive because there is some talent on that Rome team. Really, the star, the linchpin of that is Carly Banks.
Yeah.
But I think what Memphis has going for it is they've got several that can pop the ball into the goal.
Yeah.
And one thing that Corey Addison did was he continued to add players as the season went on. And it's like every addition was, right amongst the best on the team.
Yeah. I think you and Jeff Brightwell said it best in that last home game where, you know, you guys, they would add players and fit right in like puzzle pieces to the grand scheme of things, adding something to that flavor. So it was really good.
Corey Adamson did a terrific job scheming the formations for offense, defense, set plays. The players, to their credit, bought in.
Yeah.
100%.
Right.
Bought in, and you could see on the pitch because you had so many players that contributed.
Mm-hmm.
On the flip side, I thought the men had a terrific season.
I thought they did well.
Yeah. If you've seen Fayetteville Fury play in person, there's no question that they're bigger, stronger. I don't know if they're faster, but in tight quarters, they make it awfully tough for you to play through them.
They are always in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
And so I think that is a credit to their coaching, knowing where and how, and more importantly, preparation, especially for the Memphis squad.
I am so glad. And Memphis got through the Columbus Rapids on a literal buzzer beater in the semis.
Yes. It was a ball rolling in 3-2-1. Can't get any closer than that.
So it ended up just like the regular season, Fayetteville and Memphis squaring off in the finale. And Memphis took, this was so bizarre, a 1-0 halftime lead in.
And
these two teams, 1-0 was just
awkward into itself, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And that, and the, get, listen, that one goal came from a great set piece of threading the needle in, boom, we're up one. And so at that point, I don't feel like anybody felt like, oh, game, set, match, this thing's
time
over.
Time to park the bus.
Right, right.
We'll just absorb 65 shots.
No one in any realm of existence was like, okay, here we go. No. I think, though, when obviously there was mistakes on the Fury side, which led to 2-0.
Well, it, did it go 2-0 first or did it go 1-1?
Or maybe then it went 3-1.
Either way, there was a point where Memphis got up 3-1 and you thought, okay, if they can stretch this to 3, then we're about to have a sweep of the championships.
Right.
But I thought once we got up 3-1, and let's preface this, because this was game 4 on 4 consecutive days.
Yes.
For Memphis. So I don't know if the guys were getting gassed, but in the final, I wouldn't say the entire second half. I would say maybe toward the end of the third quarter and into the fourth quarter.
The entire fourth quarter.
I think we looked like a different team for the worse.
Yes.
I thought we were telegraphing passes.
Yes.
I thought we got ourselves into trouble again. I never kicked the ball for them, so I don't know why I'm saying we, but I am. I thought even Peter Slee was guilty of laying off some passes and didn't put enough mustard on them. And Fayetteville, they weren't reading our minds. I think the passes were just not firm enough where they could just step in, even on lateral passes. Mm-hmm. And that's a problem because then you start setting up odd number rushes coming back the other way. You take that into account. And once they began believing, they started putting shoulders on us. And once they started believing at that point, they rattled off 4 straight goals. And then, you know, once they took the lead, you could just tell body language is like, okay, we're gassed.
Yeah.
We got to throw one more Hail Mary at this.
Well, not just gassed is running, but they would get physical and we couldn't stand up to it.
Yeah.
You know, we would get pushed around and the ball would be dispossessed rather easily in cases that quite honestly weren't the case in the first half.
Well, I thought once we got to 3-1, because the third goal by Karpovich where he went in and challenged Perkinson,
the keeper,
and then launched it from beyond midfield and scored. I thought, okay, Fury's maybe getting a little tired. Their heads are down.
Right.
But once they made it 3-2, 3-3, their tails went up and their ears got pinned back. And it was like, oh, crap.
Yeah. It got sideways.
It got weird. It got sideways. It didn't get sexy.
Not even a little bit. Well, if you're Fayetteville, which home crowd, you know, so that helped, I think, a little bit with Fayetteville. But, you know, listen, it's a championship game. It's all out or nothing.
Two well-coached teams.
Absolutely.
You have Memphis on 4 days, 4 games, and then you've got Fayetteville, who I think are the rightful champions.
I think
they deserved it. Justin Terranova, one hell of a soccer coach. He's a great outdoor collegiate coach. He's come in. He's done a good job. Corey Adamson matching him blow for blow on this. I think the guys just got gassed and got sloppy, and then they paid for it at the end. But let's say this, though. Things may have gotten a little sloppy at times, which would have been costly, but I've never seen this team throw their bodies around to block shots like the Americans did yesterday. So while things may have technically gone downhill, the heart never, it never waned. And that match was worth watching until the very end because they gave everything.
Quite literally.
Yes.
Okay. So that there's no side speak or anything like that when you say that. I mean, literally guys were diving through to potentially block shots.
And because Jonathan Bogus must have gotten airborne about three or four times with a header, like,
and he's
diving.
A big dude.
He's no small fry. Yeah. But you watch them and it's like, okay, good. He's got sliding pants on. Good, because otherwise he's that Strawberry City right there, yeah. man. But yeah. But Memphis Americans women, rightful champions. I think Fayetteville Fury, rightful champions. Mm. And, you know, Corey played on the men's team. He coached the men's team. He coached the women's team. And what he has done here in the first year to have a women's team so dominant, to be able to recruit, to coach, to buy them in, and then have the men's team, which admittedly so, men are harder beasts to break when it comes from outdoor to indoor habits, to change the culture of a lot of these players and then force the league to adapt to you, which Fayetteville did.
Yeah.
Fayetteville did. The other teams got better as well. I think Corey did something just truly amazing, not just in Memphis, but setting the tempo for the league. And he's always been so accessible. And, you know, he's been a good teacher even to Jeff and me when it comes to the indoor game.
Sure.
But he has done a lot. Wherever the NISL expands, wherever it grows, he has set a really good cornerstone. And for that, I respect him for what he's done as the coach and general manager, but the influence that he's had on a lot of these men and women, the opportunities that they've gotten, and helped them realize some dreams, pretty special.
We talked about the look ahead with 901 FC. I want to get your take on the look ahead when it comes to the NISL. Obviously, let me recap what you and Brightwell and reiterate what you and Brightwell said in the last home match, and that was the league is expanding. We know that.
Yeah.
At what extent it expands, we don't know. We can speculate. Now, I'm not asking necessarily for, you know, let's talk pie in the sky. However, where would you like to see the league go at this point?
I would love to see one or two more Southern teams that connect into a network and regionalize it maybe just a little bit more and then expand it out. But if there's a demand for it, I think they're going to go where the demand is, and maybe that's in another area. I don't know. Mm. What I do know is Jeff and I have been treated very well by the team here and by the league, and I would say, although I didn't have much interaction with Fayetteville's broadcast team, the Columbus broadcaster, Richard Holdridge, super nice guy. We would text, we would exchange best practices, and it has created, I think it's created some opportunities for folks, and hopefully the product, and that's one reason why it was on YouTube. There's a lot of people that maybe didn't go to the game, maybe watch that. Mm. It's not all, it is about putting butts in seats, but it's also showcasing the league and putting a good foot forward to potential other teams. And I know even as of the last couple of weeks, some new minority investors have come into the Americans. I've seen other teams that have picked them up as well. I would love to see just a slow, gradual expansion, much like what the Central Hockey League did back in the days with the River Kings. You had six teams for a few years, then they expanded. Where they went wrong is they just exploded and it got out of hand
really quick.
I don't see that happening with the NISL. They've been pretty intentional, and there's been a reason behind pretty much everything that they do. Okay. From a standpoint, from the broadcast standpoint, we've been treated very well by them and taken care of. And it has been, it's been everything that we hoped for. And it's been fun too. Well, you got to jump in.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're talking about. I mean, listen, talk about opportunities. That was the first time I ever went into a broadcast situation in that aspect. I've been broadcasting for 20 some odd years, never done anything like that before.
It's still freestyle, but it's dictated by what you see downstairs.
It is rather interesting. So, I thank you so much for that opportunity. And, thanks to the Memphis Americans for allowing that opportunity to happen.
Andrew Haynes, super cool guy. Yeah. You know, Chris Lorenzo in the front office, Max Snyder, and all the folks that partnered up. I know David Weimrover, Weimer's Jewelry.
Yeah.
Of course, Lanier James with James Pest Management. There's so many great folks that jumped in and partnered with the team. And hopefully that only grows as time goes on. But, you know, they've still got several months to figure out, okay, where are they going to go next? But as for me and me being selfish, I would love to see something within driving distance of Memphis. You know, you can figure it out for you can look on a map and you can figure out.
I would love to see Birmingham. I just would love to, just because, listen, having the Legion there, you know, playing 901 FC, those matches are always kind of contentious and cantankerous when it comes to the fans, right?
Yes.
That in indoor, I'll take all day. You know, it is driving distance. It's what, 4 hours away.
I would take anywhere from Huntsville, Birmingham, yeah. Tuscaloosa.
Oh, Tuscaloosa.
Put it in a college town. Anywhere. But
Being said, too, you know, I mean, you talk about player expansion and stuff like that. You know, you guys brought up the, do you keep XYZ amount of players, or is this a whole like free for all kind of thing? And that could get really fun, and especially closer to play time. You know, I think the referees, you know, everybody complained about the referees.
I thought the referees here were just fine.
They did fine, especially ours at home. They did just fine. You know, listen, it's the human element. Is there VAR? No. Is there talk about the expansion of it? Listen, stop it. It's enough. I hate VAR. Everybody who, you know, I watch a premier match, I'm wearing a, you know, Arsenal kit right now. I hate VAR in those matches, so why do I want to expand that out to what I love, you know, in indoor? No, keep that at bay. Let's keep the human element in it.
Hard pass on that. Now, speaking of your Arsenal jersey,
yeah,
Arsenal looks like they're in the catbird seat for a Champions League spot this year.
Is this not the exact opposite conversation we had at the beginning of the Premier League season, where Arsenal's just awful? What are they doing? They're terrible. Aubameyang is not doing what he's supposed to do. Then they get rid of Aubameyang, and oh, look at this! Arsenal can play soccer. This is incredible.
They're looking good. I know I think they're technically sitting in fifth, but Crystal Palace coming up in a couple of hours.
Yeah, Man U helping us out a lot, so appreciate that.
Isn't it funny how Fred always just crops up for Man U in some weird way?
You know, my brother is a Man U fan, and, you know, he, you know, blankety blank Fred, right? Then Fred goes off and scores. It's blankety blank Fred.
Yeah. You know, Man City and Liverpool, you know, we haven't talked about that at all. This is, I mean, it's a 1-point race.
Yeah, it's
with
great.
With eight to go.
I love it. I love it, man. This is when Premier League gets fun.
And Liverpool has the goal differential advantage right now.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's just crazy.
Yeah.
But your squad didn't do
In fact, we have to go down a little bit further down the list.
Not terribly.
Chelsea's looking good at 59 points and they have a match in hand. So I think, you know, for them to get Champions League after what has happened to their ownership, they've got to be pleased with that.
Please just punch out a B.
Tottenham has, Tottenham and Arsenal have another match, I think, coming up. That's going to be an interesting 6-pointer. But Arsenal with two matches in hand on Tottenham. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. And even on points and off by the goal differential, but only slightly. I think Arsenal's in the driver's seat for the fourth spot.
Yeah,
I feel very confident that they can make that happen.
I don't think that we're going to get down a goal differential when it comes down to it.
No.
So
not unless Arsenal goes on a bad run, then it gets interesting. But I don't think
and highly
that can
possible.
No, I don't think so.
It's Arsenal. I've swallowed those jagged pills a bit at the beginning of the season. Okay, we went on bad runs where we should have, you know, taken 3 points and end up with draws or losses. So, you know,
I'm hoping for a top eight finish. I think that's likely for West Ham. They're sitting in sixth now.
Mm-hmm. I'd say that's highly possible.
Tied with Man United. Man United has a match in hand, though.
I'm worried if I'm Man U. I'm worried.
Yeah, because they don't know who they are.
Man, and you buy all these players up, then don't use them correctly. And it literally is, you bought too much talent and have nothing to do with it.
Yeah. 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 West Ham and Man United, I think that's I think that's your battle for sixth right there.
Safe.
But again, Man United just has so much talent. West Ham will play down to their opponents. They'll drop points when they shouldn't do that. Plus, you know, Kurt Zuma and the Cats and everything. I mean, yeah, that's not good. And then meanwhile, Wolves are sitting in eighth at 49, and then it's a big drop off after that.
Yeah, so. It's I mean, clear top eight.
What about Leeds and Jesse Marsh sitting on 30 points with seven matches to go? He's got some work to do still, but they already look better.
But does Jesse Marsh not surprise you a little bit with his play? Just not the same Jesse Marsh. Something off.
You can't, because the Premier League is such a different beast. Players that come in and even coaches that come in have to adapt to the Premier League style. It's just so, like, it's like each country's domestic league is just a little bit different.
I see.
But no, you're right.
I mean, Jesse Marsh is not Jesse Marsh, right? I mean, you throw him the ball and he's still not Jesse Marsh in this scenario.
I like his energy, and plus they've brought him in more longer term, supposedly, to help develop this team, to form it in his image.
I see.
And right now, when you're coming in after a legend like Bielsa, you have some work undoing some things and changing. Because he's even admitted openly, so that there's some man marking that's just weird. It's like, why are you over there?
Come over here.
Yeah.
Join the party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right now, the Village of the Damned looks like Norwich at 18, Burnley and Watford sitting at 21 and 22. But then Everton is right on the toilet seat getting ready to swirl at 25. Everton. You know, they have a couple of matches in hand that could help them in this case.
Last Everton match, they're boring to watch. Everton is awful. If you want to watch some kryptonite.
What is more painful to watch, a Frank Lampard managed Everton or Frank Lampard when he played for New York City FC
and didn't care at all? I don't know, because quite honestly, they're just boring. And maybe that is the X factor when it comes to the kryptonite of a team.
It's been 20 years since they were this bad.
Ooh, and they are bad, dude.
Yeah.
I mean, I tried to sit down. Okay, here's Everton. I'm going to see what they're doing. Maybe they can get up here and you know, do something. Man, within the first 20 minutes, I'm cold. I'm asleep out. And wake up, and it's 89th minute. Ain't nothing happened. I'm thinking either they're that bad or they just don't care. So maybe it's a rub off.
Well, let's talk about this then. Right now, as we prepare for the World Cup in November,
yes,
England, who is in Group B with the United States, their starting keeper is on a team that's may about to be get relegated. Jermaine Pickford, Everton's keeper, is the England number one, at least I think so right now. I don't think it's Dean Henderson.
No, and that's the selection for the English club or the national team is kind of interesting.
So I want to say Harry Kane.
And that's about it.
Even the American, Harry Kane.
And that's about all you got to hang your hat on, England. As far as that's concerned.
Declan Rice. He's added more to his game. He's added more. He leads the Premier League in interceptions this year.
True.
And he has put together a more attacking component.
I will give him that.
Okay.
So you have Harry Kane, Declan Rice on a good day. Guys are getting relegated out the front, the back end. And so, you know,
Harry Maguire.
Yeah. Okay. I just don't see England as England. Oh, they used to be, you know, where, here comes England. That being said, I think this is the best case scenario for the U.S. men's national team.
Okay, so Group B in the World Cup, USA is in the same group with Iran, with England, and then either Wales, Scotland, or Ukraine. Is that right? So,
yes.
So our first match, we don't even know who we're playing. It's either Scotland, Wales,
or Ukraine. And listen, what's going on in the world? I don't know if Ukraine has a club, a team to put forward, you know, and that's not no dig at them.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they have the guys to do it.
So let's recap the World Cup, which has been moved, backed up 5 months into a country who used slave labor to build the stadiums.
Yes.
And we don't know who our first opponent is. Sign me up.
I mean, listen, our first match will be the day after Thanksgiving.
No, our second match will be.
Oh, a second match. And that's England.
That's England. Yeah, we'll play on the 20th or 21st against Iran. I believe.
Wales.
No, Wales, Scotland, or Ukraine.
Right.
Then our next match will be the day after Thanksgiving.
England.
Which I think there will be a good audience, because I think the only thing on right then is like the Poinsettia Bowl.
Yeah.
College.
Whatever.
The Cure Bowl or something. I don't know.
You know, so you'll have a viewership. Now, let's talk national team.
Let's do. And a reminder. I think this is going to be a much different look, because last time these two played in the World Cup, I was on my honeymoon and USA. No, I was getting married that day. No. I was getting married that day. It was June 12th, 2010. USA. Steven Gerrard scored early in the match.
Yes.
Then Clint Dempsey hit a shot that Robert Green spilled into the goal. It was a 1-1 draw.
Yeah. It drew. And we advanced that year, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so I think we are in a good position to advance this year. That being said, as long as Weston McKennie gets a little healed up.
Yeah.
I think a healthy Weston McKennie, we are in the 5-month break, helps, does nothing but help us in this situation.
I hope so. I can't wait to see how the domestic leagues, when they're going to take their breaks.
I wish we wouldn't play so many domestic guys in the MLS. I feel like, I don't know, it's maybe been a talking point amongst the higher ups in the MLS that and pressuring Berhalter to say, hey, play more MLS guys. Give us a little clout, if you will. But honestly, I feel like we're leaving a lot on the bench. And maybe that is by design at this point. I don't know. But we're playing a lot of MLS guys in place of some of our other talent that does play in other leagues.
Yeah.
And quite honestly, we could have taken, you know, props to Canada for getting in. I'm not taking anything away from them, but we could have taken this whole America's Cup thing to the next level.
Let's talk about the roster. Let's mention a few. You mentioned Weston McKennie.
Yeah.
Hopefully Gio Reyna is good to go.
Agreed.
Wonderful.
Yes.
His dad was an awesome player. Claudio.
Yeah.
Was terrific. In fact, Claudio one time was the captain for Man City.
Yeah.
Back in the day.
But Gio's great.
Yeah. He is terrific. Pulisic, hopefully he is healthy enough to contribute.
And Pulisic's doing fine now. But as long as Pulisic's not our crutch that we always have to lean on. He's great when we don't have to always lean on him.
Timothy Weah has been decent on the wing.
Decent.
He moves.
He can move the ball, and he puts the ball in the right spot.
Who's going to be your goal scorer? Will he bring in Zardes?
That's what I want to see. I want to see Zardes play a little bit. Zardes can put it in the net.
A lot of people don't like it, but he does fine.
I love Zardes.
He does just fine.
Yeah.
They just don't. I think maybe a lot of people don't like him because he's Berhalter's guy.
Maybe. I'm not a fan of Berhalter, so don't get me, down the wrong path. But I do like him. I mean, he does great. He does great.
Walker Zimmerman's got to go with him, don't you think? The center back,
yeah,
for Nashville.
Yeah, he's okay.
Yeah, he does fine.
He does fine.
All right, question for you: Is Zach Steffen a world class goalkeeper? Okay, let me rephrase that.
He hasn't shown me enough to say yes.
Well, let me rephrase the question. Does a world-class goalkeeper play backup at Manchester City?
No. To flat out answer you, no. But he does. He does fine.
He does fine.
But that's the problem with this team. And they're fine.
And this is not an anti-Steffen rant at all. But it does bring us to a point where.
When we brought up the backup goalie, right? Who's the guy?
Matt Turner was good.
Right? He was decent at best.
Did he go to Arsenal?
Yeah.
He did fine.
Yeah.
He did fine.
But this, I mean, this does, you know, it does kind of cloud up the streak of world-class goalkeepers that have been in the net. You know,
sure.
Biolo was great. Friedel was great back in the day. Casey Keller.
I mean, fast forward to Howard.
Tim Howard.
Yeah.
You know, and I thought Brad Guzan
right.
was good.
Yeah, Guzan was great.
So,
but I
but does
Stefan
fine.
Does Stefan need to be in that conversation now? Listen, I think time will tell, and the time is coming very soon. You know, come November, will be time to tell. Yeah, as far as defense is concerned, I like Robinson in the back. Jedi, that is. He does fine.
Dude, forces with him.
Absolutely. And I love his name. So it's really hard to hate on the guy.
Yeah.
I think the other side's very weak. Our weak side is very weak. The left is just not playing as it should. Who do you put back there to make that happen? I don't know. That's the problem. I don't know. And I think this is what Berhalter is finding out a little bit is, I don't know. We got the best out there. All right. So we make do.
And I don't think on defense, I don't think Serginho Dest has not performed up to expectation yet.
Not yet. And he could. He has the potential to. So is it because he's not healthy? Maybe he's or worried he's going to get hurt. That's a problem. You got to get that out of your mind. You know, you got to go all out. It is what it is.
I think U.S. will be okay in the group. Don't the X factors if Wales gets through because they've got Gareth Bale and yeah. Gareth may not do a ton, but he shows up for his country and he scores goals.
Are you expecting Wales already at this point? I know I am. I mean, I've already written them in my mind. I would be surprised if Wales.
I'm preparing for the worst case scenario. And for U.S., that would be Wales.
Yeah,
I think so. Unless Ukraine got in and then I could see officials manipulating the match so that Ukraine can have a Cinderella story where we get screwed over on a call. I can see that. Happening.
I can see that happening.
So the
see Ukraine is damned if you do, damned if you don't.
That.
Right.
And I see Iran as a trap game because they've beaten us before.
Yeah.
And especially in the Middle East, I know not all weather's the same, but they will have trained in that and been accustomed to that. Most of their national team players more so than ours. Mm-hmm. And I don't care if you put air conditioners in the stadiums or not, to say, you know, when the Americans are defending, those air conditioners don't somehow magically get shut off.
Right? Oh, yeah.
Right?
A little stuffy in there. I don't know. Boy, that could be interesting. Little mind game, too.
So don't automatically send England and
USA through.
Through. They're likely. But let's not.
You got to play the game. I mean, that's why you play the game.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting. And of course, that doesn't happen until November now. I feel like we're just going to postpone the World Cup until indefinitely, but
yeah,
it is what it is.
It does finish a week before Christmas Eve, though.
Oh, fantastic. You got that going for us.
Yeah.
Merry Christmas. Here's your loser record. Anyway, it'll be fun. We'll keep you up to date. We'll probably do another few shows before then. So we'll talk more national team as we get closer to time. I'm more interested right now in what happens with 901 FC as their season is now full kickoff. I want to send off the NISL League with great Memphis Americans, champions in the women, runners up in the men. Just good stuff there.
Yes. A strong ending to the season in the NISL. Memphis 901 FC off to points wise their best start in club history and
best looking start too, Ben Pearman. I'm going to be honest.
And when we are concerned that that they've had their best start, and our concern is we need more offense. It can only go up from here, which is encouraging. So
again, to quote you, we didn't know Kyle Murphy was Kyle Murphy at this point in the last season.
Well, that's what I've been telling people. Quit your bitching, because Kyle Murphy wasn't banging in goals just yet.
Right.
Once he got accustomed and they got things figured out, that's why the jury's out for me. I mean,
it could be Goodwin too, by the way.
Yeah.
What's the other kid's name? Moylan?
Malloy.
Yeah. That Malloy kid, man.
Right.
Who's setting everybody up?
Through the first month, I think my MVP might be Jeremy Kelly. And I might have, Dotson was okay on that opening night, but I may have overlooked Jeremy Kelly in that first match and beyond. I think he's been the best. We got to get Dotson on.
Dotson's got it.
Yeah. He's got to start banging in some goals.
Yeah. And he's there. He's just got to put him home.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then that's, I mean, I think that Leston Paul is still Leston Paul.
Leston Paul is Leston Paul.
He's doing his thing and
hands behind the back talking to a referee. Love it.
He's the best, man.
Now, what exactly did you see there, sir?
Why is it that we are so drawn to Leston Paul and Corey Adamson, the two most chirping players on the field with the referees? And they also are the hardest. They get fouled the hardest too.
Oh yeah.
I
think as the season went on, more guys in the NISL wanted a piece of Corey. And then I think Leston Paul's the same way. Yeah. As the season goes on, more guys want a piece of Leston Paul.
For my birthday, you know what I would love is if there's time, or even before then, and we've still got a little bit of time, is to have a couple of microphones and sit down over lunch. I know Leston's busy right now.
Yeah.
But if we could get Ben Pyramid and Corey Adamson in the same room to talking,
yeah,
I think that would be fun.
That would be really fun.
Because both of them have meant a lot to this city.
Yeah.
And they go about things in similar yet different ways.
Very different ways.
Yeah.
That would be really fun.
Yeah.
Sit over at a Huey Burger and talk. Boy, that'd be fun.
Yeah, that would be that would be good. And then, of course, want to send a shout out to Ben's dad, Coach Wayne.
Coach Wayne.
Wayne, what's up, my man? I hope you're doing well. He'll shoot me a text every now and then after the matches. We'll talk old school.
Shout out to Ben Pyramid's wife for dressing him in a very, very warm, albeit very tight pants.
Yeah,
great look on the sideline from Coach Pyramid.
And then in the coming month or two, I think the Adamsons are expecting a baby boy.
Yeah, baby boy, number one. All right. Welcome to dadhood, Corey Adamson.
All right. I think that's going to do it for today. You go to my3subspodcast.com and check us out. Don't email us. Don't tweet us, because we won't respond. We don't really check it. Although, it could get more interesting now that Elon Musk has bought 9% of the company.
Yeah. He's a majority shareholder down
there. He's got like 9.25% at $3 billion for air.
So great.
That is amazing. All right. We'll catch you again sooner rather than later on My Three Subs.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more My Three Subs podcast, A Soccer Odyssey.